Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage Podcast. I'm your host, Bex Buggy. Today's guest is Kelly Tisdall. She is an experienced mentor, teacher, guide. She serves families around the world. And with over 20 years of experience working with teens in one-on-one mentoring and counseling sessions, in circles and backpacking trips, and in the Waldorf classroom as a class teacher, she knows the importance of holding space and being with young people in an authentic way. She does this with heart, presence, and the capacity to truly listen. When youth feel truly seen, heard, and validated, they blossom. When youth feel truly seen, heard, and validated, they blossom. Helping the youth ground themselves and provide resources is what Kelly does, and she feels it's extremely essential. She also works with parents to help strengthen those relationships, which aid in health and the inner fire of our youth, which is the fabric of our communities. In this episode, we talk about how you are not your teen. They are different from you. Yes, there are similarities, but let's acknowledge those differences as well. Also, how it is scary to become vulnerable. So allowing your teen to open up without judgment is essential. And if you're triggered, you should check why, lean into it, and maybe you might even learn a little bit about yourself. Lastly, it's a beautiful rite of passage experience for parents and teens during the transition from child to teen. So go grab your coffee and your tea and a pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what Kelly has to say. Let's get into the podcast. Say hello to our guests and tell us, what's a fun fact that most parents just might not know about your industry?
Hello, my name is Kelly Tisdall. And I would say a fun fact could be that you, as parents, are not your teen. And although that sounds obvious, there's lots of subtle levels of projection that get put on them and all of that. So I would just, I'll explain a little bit more later, but there's that you are not your teen.
I love that, you know, and that's, I feel like that's probably a real big thing for parents, right? To separate that, you know, personal, because they raised them, you know, totally. They poured into them, and it's like, oh, is it personal? Yeah. Is it not personal? Is that me? Is it not me? So yeah, that could really bring some kinds of like anxiety, I guess, or some kind of like questioning or projection onto kids. So is that the focus of your work?
It's an element of it. I mean, the focus of my work is really like the mental, emotional well-being of teenagers right now. My background's as a teacher. And so there was a part where there was a moment when it was really clear to me that I wanted to go right to the heart of tending to our youth at this time, because of this certain tincture of stress and the what's happening in our world and an education system that isn't meeting them. And I could just feel that there was a support that was needed on more of that, like, how are you? Do you know how to navigate this on a soul level too? You know, like, who am I really? So it comes to play, because as parents, it's really easy what you're saying to project upon your teen person, your teen child, being like, oh my gosh, they're a reflection of me in the world. You know, they can't go out like that, because what are people going to think of me? It's like that level to literally like the wounds and fears that I had and the experiences that I had as a teenager, subtly putting it on them as that's going to be their experience. And so trying to control who they are and their friends and this and all of that, based on one's own wounding and fears. And it's not to say that guidance isn't needed in that area, but it's just a moment of like really needing to check in at this time, because parenting needs to change for a teenager.
Yeah. So. Wow. I mean, wow. Can you expand on that? Because I agree there. I can actually go back into my teen years And, you know, no disrespect, my mom was an amazing woman. You know, she's passed away a few months back, and, you know, I will always honor who she is, but there was a difference there. And I realized the difference as I was getting older. I remember telling her mom that that's not going to work anymore with me. You know, like I would like literally verbalize those things. And I knew that I needed something different. I didn't know what it was. I was a teenager myself, but I just knew that what she was trying to do wasn't working because I don't know. Like, I just remember feeling almost angry about it or rebellious towards it. And just, like, I didn't understand. And I felt like, are you trying to control me? Or are you trying to lead me? Like, what is happening here? You know? Yeah. And so those feelings used to always come up. And be honest, as an adult, I had to work through a lot of those things. And I'm not saying that that's the, you know, it's going to happen to every kid. You know, some kids are super resilient. I became more resilient as an adult, you know, like now I'm like, I'm definitely more resilient than I've ever been. And I try to teach my students on resiliency and how to, you know, fortify your mind against those negative things and not allow those things. And I think when we first talked on the phone, we like jived. We were like back and forth, like, oh my God. Yeah. You know,
it was totally exciting. Yep.
Talking to, I remember exactly where I was too. I was in the parking lot at my church and I was staring up at this huge tree. And as you were talking, all I kept thinking about was like, oh my gosh, she's speaking my language. This is so awesome.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us more about, you know, what you do, who you are, and how you got inspired to start all this, because your story is just so phenomenal and your heart is so big and you're so passionate about what you do.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. So I was a Waldorf class teacher for 17 years and typically in the middle school grade. So I would circulate just through sixth through eighth. I'm not going to explain Waldorf so much other than just that place of like, you develop these really close relationships with your people that you're with, the students that you're with. And in that time also, my ex-husband and I started a business called Inner Guide Expeditions, where we would take teens out into the wilderness to really start tapping into, you know, who they are and their sense of self in community, in that way of like being seen. And anytime we go into the wilderness, there's parts of ourselves that just kind of like can slough off easier, and you're away from technology, all of that.
Yeah.
But in this last year in particular, and I taught through that pandemic moment where we were all on Zoom as teachers and students, and something happened in that where as we got back together again, I could feel, you know, like these kids were still in that fight or flight. It was like in a certain kind of survival part of the brain, as opposed to like this sort of creative, innovative, like open sort of thinking. The learning had changed. And so it became really clear that I wanted to get back into that place of tending someone's inner fire, tending teenagers' inner fire from this time of, you know, I noticed them having more jadedness, apathy, depression, like this place of kind of like, what's the point? All of these parts to the puzzle that, you know, it's all about this relationship that I was having with them, where I could feel like, okay, I want to go in, I want to hold them and basically give them space to process and to be seen, because there's amazing magic. I know, as you know, as a teacher, like when somebody is seen, anybody, there's a place of safety that comes, like really seen without judgment, not just like, oh, I know who you are, but like curious about them, especially for a teenage person to feel that they start opening. There's a medicine in that. And so I left teaching just this last year and started to do mentoring full time. So I mentor youth, I mentor teenagers. I also coach parents, and I've been brought in to mediate different conversations between parents and their teen when it's gotten to this place of like needing to be heard. And then I also started this program called Soul Fire Passage. And I can talk about that a little bit, but it's just like, it runs alongside the school year, because I got to see like in these mentoring relationships and in this program itself, like having longevity of a relationship, being able to see a trajectory where it's not just these, like, I see you once a month, you know, like, so the mentoring is once a week or every other week. So there's this relationship that can develop, because really it's this relationship that is kind of this essential component to the health of our youth. Like finding that in an adult is rare for them in some way, you know, like as a teen, because as a parent, your role is changing. So it really is about this like village that needs to expand. But, you know, like, I'll just say, like, for the Soulfire Passage, the program, I was like, okay, if I could give youth right now, like, four things in their toolbox, what would that be? It would be like, one, finding the breath, like finding the way of finding the pause, even when everything's chaotic and you feel like crap and you can't like make sense of things. Like, can you still orient to a breath and this moment, like just slowing things down? And then that second part is, you know, like, who am I? Like the exploration of like, what makes me unique in comparison to my friends, or, you know, like, comparison's an interesting word, but it's really about that place of like, can I access my own truth? Who am I? What is my unique genius? And then the third part is like harmony within the family, which, you know, as we know, as teenagers, there's like always that rebelliousness, they're needing to differentiate. And so in that, it can be harsh because the parent, it can be a harsh moment. And so just to come back in full circle with communication within the family and feeling that level of being heard and being able to be, you know, like spoken to in a respectful way. And then the last one is just that connection with the earth, the resource of going outside and grounding and getting away from, you know, our walls where we can look at the sky and feel the wind and, you know, like hopefully maybe like leave the phone behind for a little moment, you know, some level of that resource that we have to the planet.
Yeah.
That's a little nutshell.
Yeah. And you know, that makes a lot, it kind of reminds me, we were talking in the beginning about like just being able to be still and just to be with yourself. It reminds me of that scripture that says, be still and know that I am God. Like, know that I'm with you and I hear you. Just be still. Let the humdrum of everything go. It says, cast your care upon the Lord because his burden is light. It's like, you know, not having to, knowing that we don't have to hold on to everything. We can legitimately allow it to go. Like, you know, even today, like my day was super stressful. And I mean, we tried to do this early this morning, you know, and so, you know, at the end, I'm driving home from the doctor and I'm like, Lord, I thank you. You know, I can just feel the peace coming over me because I'm breathing out whatever, you know, like, and that's for me is scientific because I know like the science behind. I'm a bio teacher, I'm a physics teacher, I'm a chem teacher. So like, I know the physics of like, and like the biology of like, just letting out the carbon dioxide and just allowing it to get out of my system and breathing in some fresh air, you know, as fresh as it can be while you're driving on the highway, right? <He's> like, that's why we do go to, you know, the woods. And the woods, honestly, like there is, you know, and I believe it's because of creation that God, you know, created this earth. It's like beautiful. And like, when you can sit there and just like appreciate it and just be like, oh my gosh, like, and you said that we are more important than this. And this is so beautiful. And this is so amazing and how perfect it is and how just, it all falls into place, but yet you find me more important. And it's just like, just to sit there in that moment and just to be like, oh my gosh, it is so connecting. And I do, I go to the beach to ground myself a lot. Like I'll take my shoes off because that's also a very biological thing. Like to legitimately put your feet on grass, ground, dirt, sand, any of that stuff. Really, it actually like grounds you again. And it's just for, you know, as you're talking for me, I'm just like, man, I see those things happening. And, you know, as a teenager, I would have loved for someone to, you know, constantly talk to me like that and just kind of help me through all those, you know, all those times that I just felt like, you know what I mean? And I love what you said about unique genius, because, you know, we've been given gifts, right? And it reminds me of another scripture, like the talents. Someone given one talent, and we're given three talents, and we're given five talents. And to find where you are, who you are, like what gifts have been given to you, I was just talking to today, a girl, she's a copywriter, and from my church, and she was just like helping me out with my website. And she's like, well, this is my unique genius where I'm a really good copywriter. And I love the fact that she was humble enough to know who she was. You know what I mean? It wasn't her being, you know, oh, look at me, I'm so great. She just knew this is my genius. This is where I'm at. Like, this is where I thrive, and I can help you become your best. And that's the beauty of each one of us learning who we are, because we are our brother's keeper. And when we know who we are, we free other people to become who they are. And it's like, we are each other's, you know, holding hands, you know, like that's, we can't do life alone. We don't do life apart from other people. We find ourselves and other people. We find ourselves. It's really amazing. And I love it. You know, I just love how everything comes together and everything. So, you know, I know that there's like a lot of learning challenges, and I can personally see how something like this really can, you know, benefit and really help them with a learning challenge. Like, why don't you talk more about that, and, you know, how that can really like just do a full circle?
With the learning challenges specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like, you know, I mean, in the classroom is one thing of really where the school system is typically not set up, well, is not set up for every single type of learning.
Absolutely not. You're right.
You know, and so like our idea even of like somebody that's challenged in learning, it's like they need to learn a different way. You know, like there's a visual, there's the kinesthetic, there's the auditory. It's like, how do I take in information? And so there's this destigmatizing, I think, for those kids that have been labeled of like, okay, no, it is another exploration of who you actually are. Right. So it's not that there's something wrong with me that I can't read. I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, my nephew who, like, you know, he's in fifth grade and he's still struggling to read. So how do we destigmatize that for him? And he's brilliant. Like the mind that he has in terms of like the scientific project-based approach. So it's really like looking again at who's in front of you, and how do I be curious enough, get out of my ideas of what it should be enough to meet this particular human being.
Yeah.
You know? And who knows what somebody's destiny is? Who knows what they're going to be here for? So it feels very limiting from me as an adult to put my idea of where they should be right now. You know what I mean? Like, instead of just being like, okay, this is where they are, I'm going to give them support because I want them to also like feel that they can navigate this world that we live in, this culture that we live in. But how we do that, I think, is the big question, you know, where it's not just everybody needs to read a textbook and be able to answer questions and retain that information for a test. I mean, that's a very particular learning style. And that's where we've like pigeonholed the majority of our kids.
Yeah. And you know why, right? Because those are the ones that can be controlled.
No.
That's just really it. Like, those are the ones that aren't going to ask too many questions. They're the ones that aren't going to give pushback. They're the ones that are, and that honestly is really not true learning. Like, even today when I was talking to my students, I got a brand new set of students today, and I'm going over my curriculum and how I'm going to teach them. At the end of the class, I was like, I just need you guys to know that this class is probably like no other class you've ever taken. I do want you to talk to me. I do want you to ask questions. I may come off as if I'm a little like intense. Sorry, I am from New York. I'm trying to take it back. You know, I'm like, I'm definitely trying, but you know, I welcome all of your ideas and thoughts, and I can learn from you and you can learn from me. That's this whole entire process. And, you know, I agree. Like, everybody, it's like lagging muscles. Like when you're working out, you know, like you may be working out and your biceps are getting like really, they're getting buff, right? But your shoulders aren't growing yet. It's like, what's wrong with my body? You know, and it's like, your shoulders are a lagging muscle. You have to work a little bit harder on those muscles. So that way, you know, and it's the same thing with learning. There is just going to be other parts of learning that are going to lag until, you know, our brain isn't fully formed till the 25.
Like, I know, totally. I know. And that's that thing of like this trust, like, of course, like, let's help somebody learn how to read. But like, it's like this place of like, okay, how do I get my fear out of the picture? You know, or that's really kind of freaking monumentally huge to be like, okay, my fear is about like really starting to like navigate our own terrain. And I think that I would say like as a parent is a revolutionary act, because you're so, I can, you know, it's that place of being so afraid of what is or isn't going to come. And a lot of it, most of it, is based on these childhood wounds that we have from our own experience. So it's this, like, if I was going to say that what's the revolution of parenting right now, especially for a teenager, is like every place that you get triggered from your person, from your teen person, your teen child, look inside and be like, just take a pause and a beat. Like, where is this coming from? Is this mine? You know, like, can I deeply trust? Are there actually boundaries that need to be put in place? But as a teen person, they're going to want to be part of that process with you in a communication style, you know? So you're like working on it together. Like, this doesn't work for me. I need help figuring out how to hold you in this moment. What would work? Because this is what I need. What do you need? It becomes a whole level. There's a rite of passage that happens, I think, for the teen parent. It's different than, you know, your child that needs a certain boundary, that obviously everybody needs a certain boundary. But like as a child, it's a very specific, like, I'm going to hold this for you because in your development, this is the bubble that I'm holding for you. You know, like actually this is what makes sense in your own development for your safety. And as a person is now individuating into their own, like, who am I in the world? Who am I in community? There has to be an offering and a recognition that they're not actually in your field in the same way anymore. They're a sovereign entity and a being. They're like, they are different. So that differentiation is instrumentally important for becoming a healthy adult. We don't want to take away the struggle, but if it's a dangerous situation, of course, come in with a boundary. But right. In that way, it's like, as a parent, you really have to look and be like, this is my stuff. I'm going to heal me first, and then I can tend to you and actually not assume I know who you are now. Trust right. them. If they're like, mom, that's not me. And you're like, no, it is. And I've known you since you were two, you know, like, well, you, as a mom, you know, person, you know, a long time.
I get it. 2-year-old, they really start showing like their little personality and everything.
Yeah, they're changing. They're figuring out who they are. They want to experiment. That's all really healthy, like teenage development.
It's true. You know? And I love what you just said. Like, it's a rite of passage for parents, because it really mm-hmm. is. And all I kept thinking about, wow, the depth of relationship you can have with your child if you can just hear them say, you know, that's not me. It's not what I'm thinking. Because I remember growing up as a teenager myself and just thinking, mom, that's not what I'm thinking. That's actually not what's happening. Totally. You would just give me a second to explain to you what is happening. Like, here's the thing. My mom and I, we both love to dance, right? So she used to go out dancing with her sisters, and actually my grandfather would go with them to like Studio 54. Like, I'm serious. I learned that later on in time. So as I was growing up, I loved dancing myself. I didn't even know my mom used to go. I didn't even know. I didn't find that till just like, oh my gosh, just like after she passed, like all the stuff, like my aunt was like just divulging things. I'm like, why did she tell me that? You know? Mm-hmm. And learning about that, like my true desire was, I loved just dancing. Like, that was really the only reason I would go to clubs. Like, I was just like, loved. Me and my friends would go to my house and we would practice dancing. We just wanted to dance. That was it. Mm-hmm. There was nothing. There was literally nothing else behind it. Like, everything else was so like far away from us in our minds. And, but for my mom, it was always about the stuff and, oh, you know, this is, I know what's going on. I'm like, but that's not it. Like, mm-hmm. not even close to what I think, like it, I'm telling you that I'm genuinely innocently doing this. Like, this is just me. So it's like, you're right. It's trusting your child and trusting that you know what you're doing with your kid, that you can heal yourself. Like, my mom probably had some traumas that happened to her in her dance days that she was projecting on me. So now mm-hmm. I couldn't just freely you know, enjoy my dance, because it really was, you know, and I get it, in her protective way, she was trying to protect me from it, and I get it, you know, but it was in my heart, really innocently. And I love what you said, like the conversation, have the conversation.
Yes.
Kelly, you know how many times I just wanted to talk to my mom?
Exactly.
You know how, I mean, so many times I just wanted to sit on the couch with her and just talk to her. So many times I just wanted her to hear me, and I wanted to hear her. Like, literally, those are the only things I ever wanted, you know. But her like love language, in a sense, was different than mine. Mine was quality time and all those things. And that's another good thing to know about the people in your life, like even friends, or, you know, just how do they hear the word love, you know? Mm-hmm. And my husband's learned it. It's do dishes. It really is.
I get it, totally.
He does dishes and I'm like, oh, he loves me. That's all I hear is like, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. So, you know, but those things are really important. And I love that you really are kind of like honing in on that. So, you know, with all of that and all that you're doing, because you're really touching in some deep parts. And I know it could be hard for some parents, especially with a Christian faith. Sometimes it feels like, am I going outside of my faith? And I personally don't think so. I think that God created all these things. And there, you know, there's a scripture that says it's for kings to hide a matter, but it's for God to hide a matter, and it's for kings and queens to go and dig it out. And I believe that that's what we're doing here. We're digging out those things. It's okay to talk to your teens and dig those things out and build that relationship, and it's good and it's healthy. And I mean, like, if we went and asked God himself and be like, is it okay that I talked to, I'm pretty sure that he'll be like, please do. I gave them to you to steward. It's like, I gave them to you to steward. I gave them to you to love, to raise, to train, to appreciate, to enjoy. Like, these are gifts. These are your gifts. And it's like, if we can really just look at kids as gifts, like even when they're screaming, crying, and they're, I mean, and because I know I was the most rebellious. I was really rebellious. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I would push my mom to a point where I was like, and in my mind, as I'm thinking, how much do you love me? Will you fight for me now? Will you fight? Will you not let me go crazy? Because I couldn't control myself on some. I just really couldn't. It was really, really hard. And I get it, because now I realize my frontal lobe wasn't, that emotional part wasn't developed yet. And I just, you know, but I would be like, I can't control myself. I want to. I don't want to do the bad things. I don't want to go crazy, but they feel good, one. And two, I have no one stopping me. If you can just help me process this information, help me get through what I'm feeling, talk to me, normalize it. Like, let me know that you experienced this and that you're working through it, and that you're willing to help me. Like, these are such important things to say to kids. It's not about being perfect, honestly. Like, I think I've had more breakthroughs with my students when I was just like, oh yeah, I mess it up too. Let's do this together. Let's just fix this together now. Wow. I'm really sorry. That's my bad. Let's just do this together, you know? And that's just a really beautiful thing. So I love what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Guys, you got to meet her. She's amazing.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on here. Everything you're saying, I think that really is. If I was just going to add one little thing in that way, it's just like, you know, the vulnerability, that piece that you're just talking about, for them to see you as human instead of just that level of like the authority. It's really about the relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you were saying earlier, it was like, you know, we're not meant to do this alone. So this is the moment with your teenage person to like bring in the mentor, bring in the auntie, bring in the uncle, you know, find somebody that they resonate with to be able to actually process what's going on for them too. And you don't need to get it perfect. It's totally, your striving is the gift, right? Wow. Like, them seeing you strive to meet them is such a gift.
Kelly, where can they connect with you, call you, find your information, and, you know, get just in total connection with you?
Yeah, I have my website, which is just my name. So it's Kelly Tisdall, and I know your podcast will have my name there, .com.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put it in the show notes.
Great. And my email's on there. My number's on there. There are ways of contacting. There's a form you can contact me through on my website. So.
Oh, so beautiful. What is one big takeaway you want to leave with parents today?
I think that there's this like belief that you have, again, it's like that we live in such a culture that's like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, relying on the bigger level of, trust in the way life is moving, your community, the village, and looking at your teen with eyes that are like of the beginner's mind.
I love that. That's really beautiful. The beginner's mind. Wow. Yeah. Yes, approaching all things with childlike faith, like just with your curiosity.
Who are you now?
Oh,
who are you now?
Yeah.
And let them show you, and don't judge what they show you. I mean, the vulnerability it takes for them to expose. Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's a lot of trust. And if they show you one part and you're like, yeah. Okay. Even if you feel that inside, it's this place of like, thank you. Thank you for showing me.
Wow. Wow. Man, Kelly, we can talk forever.
I know. Okay, great. Okay. Thank you again. I really appreciate you reaching out and having me on. This has been a pleasure.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. We will be hearing from her again. I just let you guys know. Okay.
If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast, follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.